Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. Lots of stories as always. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We got clear blue skies, virtually no chemtrails except for the horizon. Really nice temperatures here in Florida today. It's about 75, 78 degrees, so it's absolutely stunningly beautiful. I want to start off with a story that was in the Sun, which is a newspaper. And the name of the article is When Pigs Fly. And it said, woman has been kicked off a flight after her emotional support pig became rowdy. Now, this actually happened. There's a reason I'm doing this story first. The woman was given her marching orders after her havoc-wreaking hog began walking up and down the aisles. Even attempts to strap it to the armrest failed to settle the farmyard animal on the flight from Connecticut. A plane passenger was simply booted off. Now, what this is, these are emotional animals these people have from their psychiatrists. In other words, the psychiatrist tells them they need to have an emotional support dog or an emotional support cat or an emotional support pig. And what that allows them to do, they have a medical excuse now to take that into a mall or into a venue where animals aren't allowed or onto an aircraft because it's an emotional support animal. Now, you ask me, why am I covering this besides it being extremely funny? Here's why. Yesterday I was talking to Sharon and Austin, and we were talking about how the people that are rich, who really are rich, are they're a bunch of weirdos, and they're a bunch of psychopaths and sociopaths and just nutbags. And, you know, and we were thinking, why in the world does that happen? Well, here's the reason for that, as far as what I've been able to tell in all of the years that I've been in business now for 37 years. These guys who become exceedingly wealthy don't care about how they become exceedingly wealthy. They don't care who they do anything to, who they rip people off. They don't care. They don't care if they don't practice what they preach. They don't care. Their wires aren't wired that way. To them, no matter what they do, it justifies the end result. No matter who they hose over, who they kill, in Hillary Clinton's case, no matter what they do, they justify because the ends, the means is the correct way of doing it to the end, period. Now, you say, why am I bringing this up? I have been repeatedly asked about numerous people who are in the seminar business and if their information is any good. And I can say to you right now that that's a very short list. Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar were two of the greats, and their information is pretty much for free on the YouTube channels now. Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Now, there are other people out there right now with which whom Zig Ziglar refused to share his name with, and I won't mention any names on the air because these people are still active in the business. And these guys are not who you think they are. One of them in particular is internationally known, and he is a Satanist. He is a Luciferian, and he has been put in a very high position by the powers that be, and he has been given the nod. He is the same one who basically at the end of every seminar, he passes out tickets to the girls, the pretty girls in the audience, has one of his liaisons do that, and they invite them to a Babylonian orgy in his room with his wife at the end of the seminar. Sickos, sickos, sickos. Another one who I knew back in the 90s, another seminar leader, I won't mention any names. His wife got busted for taking his porn collection away from him, and they ended up getting divorced. And I could tell you story after story of another one that I knew who was going out and picking up different girls in every single city that we went to, and then he would preach one word. He would speak with one side of his mouth, praying prayers and blessing Jesus, cursing the other side, trying to pick up girls at these seminars. Now, guys, here's why I'm telling you all of this. Be very careful in who you listen to. Be very, very careful on who you allow into your home, on radio, on TV, etc. Make sure you can verify who they are and they do what they say they're going to do if you indeed wish to invest money with them or allow them to influence you in a way that you probably shouldn't be influenced if these people are true Satanists, which some of them are. Guys, I have seen it over and over and over again. This is why I have said to you in numerous shows, and I will continue to say this to you, I have worked with some of the top Christian ministries in the world, TV ministries. I have generated a lot of revenue for them in the sale of my books and my CDs. Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you, and I can't emphasize this enough. Support your local churches. Go to church locally. If you every once in a while watch somebody on TV or whatever, that's not that big of a deal, but don't make that your mainstay unless you're like homebound and you can't get out. Your mainstay of getting some type of Christian feeding or food or companionship or whatever. Just don't try not to do that the best you possibly can. Because I'm telling you, a lot of these guys who are involved who claim to be Christians are one of the worst group of people you've ever worked with. They're a bunch of liars and thieves. Not all of them. There are some good ones out there. But the ones that really are prominent in many cases on the TV and in these TV shows and have their own networks and shows, you really need to avoid some of these guys because they're really, really, really bad news. I can't say it any more specifically than that from a liability standpoint, but guys, it's just one of those things. You've got to believe me on this. Stay away from them, especially from these top motivational speakers, because I know these guys. I've done seminars with them. I was on the platform with them for years and years and years. I spoke to over a million people at live seminars with them. And it's one of those things, you got to avoid these guys. You really, really do. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about that, man. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on with all this. I mean, especially a lot of the stuff that's getting exposure now in the mainstream media. I just saw an article earlier today from a ex-Secret Service agent that did a basically an interview with Big League Politics Cassandra Fairbanks. The Secret Service agent who spoke in condition on anonymity revealed that Biden, Joe Biden, she said that he basically would mess with every single woman or teen that ever showed up in the White House. And I thought this was odd. They said they even had a Christmas get-together at the vice president's house and it having to be canceled because Biden would literally grope all of our wives' and girlfriends' butts, the Secret Service agent said. And I saw videos of this before, very, very weird, perverted videos on C-SPAN of when Biden would be swearing somebody in or taking photos with a family, and these little 5- and 6-year-old girls that would be with the family that he'd never met before in his life, they'd walk up and he'd make sure they stood right in front of him and he'd pull them close and he'd be playing with their hair and smelling them and caressing them. I mean, right on camera, right in video, not even thinking anything about it, whispering weird stuff in their ear. And I always thought this was odd, but this guy now has collaborated and said that this is exactly what's been going on. He said it was so bad that Secret Service agents that were female usually had to be tried to hidden, and they used to have to get them out of the way if they were involved in anything because Biden was so aggressive with them as far as with groping them, and he would blatantly run around the vice president's residence naked all the time. During one alleged incident in 2009, Biden blatantly grabbed the breast of a Secret Service agent's girlfriend during a photo, prompting the agent to shove Biden and almost hit him. The agent was actually suspended for over a week because of that incident. And like I said, if you look at these videos online, you see Biden touching children and doing all types of weird stuff. However, there's no actual evidence that we've seen to suggest Biden has been involved in this stuff illegally. I've never seen anybody in my life that's had a very clear moral compass constantly grope and grab little girls on a regular basis. That's a very, very weird behavior pattern. So I think this guy's another one that really needs to get exposed for who he is, Dad. It seems like this guy's a complete and total weirdo.
Well, Obama, the gay Kenyan, okay, he even told Biden not to run for the White House. He warned him not to do it because he knew the blowback was going to come back from all of this groping that he's been involved with, and plus who knows whatever else. I've seen Biden actually kiss in videos little 4- and 5-year-old girls on the mouth. On the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, who does stuff like that? And the problem is we've got a whole group of people who are a bunch of perverts, including Bernie Sanders. He was a real pervert with the stuff he did before he got into politics. I mean, you get all these nutbags out there doing all of this stuff, and you kind of think, wow, it's just an isolated incident. Guys, it's not an isolated incident. These guys are like nuts. They're absolutely nuts. And again, that's why the Bible says, as silver is tested in the crucible and gold is tested in the furnace, a man is tested by the praise that he or she receives. It's so clear to me when God says that, hey, when you get up to a position, to a hierarchy level, in which you are actually being put on a platform and basically being praised by huge amounts of people, you better watch your back and you better watch your behavior. Because the same thing is true. Look what happened with Solomon. We talked about that last week, how whacked out he turned into, okay? And so this is what happens with these guys in many, many cases. And Austin, I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And if you guys ever come by the office, I'll tell you who these guys are in person. I'll tell you who they are. I'll tell you all of them. But, you know, I don't want to do that on the radio just from, like I said, from a liability standpoint, because it's simply, it's not really something I want to do. Because if I did it on the radio, this would be a live show today, and then I would never be able to use it in the archives simply because I simply wouldn't want it out there. I've done that before. I've mentioned names before, and then I killed the show, and you guys call me up, what happened to today's show? And I'm like, well, if you got it live, you got it. If you didn't get it live, it ain't going to happen. So it's really, really important. By the way, Soros Media Matters is using boycotts to pressure advertisers to stop sponsoring Sean Hannity's show. Media Matters, a leftist communist group funded by the Nazi collaborator, Sabbatean Kabbalist, Luciferian lowlife George Soros, I added that, is running a campaign against Fox News anchor Sean Hannity, claiming he was sympathetic when interviewing Judge Roy Moore over allegations of sexual misconduct. Now remember, George Soros can do whatever he wants to do to whoever he wants to do it to, and I personally believe that the Judge Roy Moore is being tarred and feathered by a bunch of lies. Media Matters organized a boycott against Hannity's advertisers, and even and 11 of them have already dropped his show. This is the same thing that I saw happening to the nutbag that was on Fox before him. What was his name, Austin? The Mormon guy. He got started talking about the Federal Reserve Bank. He started talking about all of the stuff that was going on, and he ended up getting his show canceled within weeks. Glenn Beck. He got a show canceled within weeks. Now, I don't agree with a lot of stuff Glenn Beck says. I think, quite frankly, he's a little bit loony, and the way he sits around and cries and all the other weird stuff that he does, I just don't really consider that alpha male material or alpha male. I wouldn't consider him a mentor. But here's the thing, guys. I mean, he still started talking about the Federal Reserve Bank and got booted off. When Hannity won't back off of this, he's going to have to really watch his back, because they'll find a reason to get rid of him, and I've seen it over and over again. And back to Joe Biden, the other sicko perverted, probably 75% of the congressional leaders in Washington and their pages. I would never let any of those people take my little kid to get an ice cream cone. Bunch of sickos. You don't know what in the world they're going to do behind closed doors. Those people nauseate me, Austin. What's your next story?
No, you're absolutely right. Well, this is pretty wild now. As you guys know, pretty much ISIS has been retreating back to northern Iraq now. So the Syrian army has been going through a lot of the areas that they had been holding up, a lot of their weapons caches. And now they've discovered numerous warehouses filled with direct U.S. military equipment and weapons left behind the ISIS militants. They said weapons include U.S.-made TOW missiles, artillery, belt-fed heavy weapons, and M-16s. I said the Syrian army has repeatedly found crate after crate containing weapons that read U.S. property on the side of them. They said, in addition, Daesh terrorists have also found, they've also found HK MP5 submachine guns, which are usually only procured by U.S. and European law enforcement agencies as well. On top of that, they found an entire crate of Glock 19s with the stampings on it, basically for U.S. personnel service only. So this is interesting that this stuff is floating around. I've talked about this so many times. ISIS has been directly involved as far as with the CIA. The CIA has been funding these guys. Hillary was funding these guys. That's the entire aspect of Libya was about, is funneling all those heavy weapons into the Middle East, into ISIS hands. But it's pretty crazy now that these reports are coming out from Syria that they're literally finding crate after crate after crate of United States machine guns and heavy weaponry that has been given to ISIS only by our usual, whether it's CIA or Black Ops or any other way. They didn't just get this stuff by accident.
Well, you know, $1.3 trillion in opium coming out of Afghanistan pays for a lot of weapons laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at the Black Ops. You got to look at what they're doing. You got to look at Fast and the Furious and all the other mess that they're involved in. Oh, by the way, Representative Jackie Speier says the House in Washington, D.C. has paid $15 million on behalf of sexual harassers via stopping, et cetera, lawsuits. U.S. Representative Spears reports in the past 10 to 15 years, the government has paid out $15 million on behalf of members of Congress who were sexual predators. She is preparing legislation to change the current policy that requires victims to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and then they are denied representation by a counsel. Hold, the harasser is represented by the general counsel for the House of Representatives. Most of costs passed to the taxpayers are being paid by the harassers. I mean, this is unbelievable that this, and this is the Biden thing that we are talking about the sicko perverts that are running around doing all this stuff, who are the sociopaths and the psychopaths who have absolutely no moral compass whatsoever, Austin. By the way, Planned Parenthood, they're on the news again. Planned Parenthood organ buyers have, are now being reported to have earned bonuses for aborted body parts of young children. Holly O'Donnell, a former technician for STEM Express, which harvests baby parts from Planned Parenthood abortions, says her family, her company used financial bonuses to and incentives to obtain the maximum number of high-value specimens such as brains, hearts, lungs, and eyes that fetch top dollar when we resold. STEM Express employees worked alongside abortionists in Planned Parenthood clinics in Northern California to extract body parts, which were shipped via FedEx to researchers throughout the country. It is illegal to profit from the sale of human body parts. I mean, duh, they're making billions of dollars and it's illegal to profit. No, it is legal for these guys to profit because apparently they are above the law as far as how we see it. Austin, what do you think?
They are. They've been above the law. They have to keep the vaccine industry completely fed. That's what they're doing with these vaccines. I've talked about it so many times. The most, one of the darkest aspects of the entire vaccine industry is that they use massive amounts of aborted fetal tissue cells in the production of these vaccines that's then injected back into our children. Very, very sick stuff. But anyway, other news as well. Also, too, in Minnesota, as you guys know, Minnesota and Michigan up there are becoming essentially Muslim strongholds. This is one of the main areas that they've been funneling in these refugees for years now. Now, for the second time in just a year, a Somalian refugee has stabbed shoppers with a knife at the Minnesota Mall. The first case on September 2016 last year was a blatant act of jihad when Dahir Adin injured 10 people in the Macy's Crossroads Center Mall in St. Cloud after asking his victims chosen at random if they were Muslim. Well, on Sunday night this week, a man identified as Mahad Adizi Abrazingman, 20 years old, of Minnesota, another Somalian refugee, was arrested and detained in the connection with the stabbing of two men at the Mall of America after they tried to stop him from stealing clothes inside the dressing room at Macy's. Bloomington Police Chief Jeff Plott said in the news conference that the suspect went in, tried to take property, and when confronted, he pulled out a knife and stabbed one of the men and tried to stab the other man. Some family members assisted the victim and essentially were able to hold him down until police arrived. And the crazy part is Minnesota is now turn into the largest population of Somalian refugees in the United States, with the number now reaching 100,000. And Governor Mark Dayton allegedly has told residents of the state if they are not comfortable living among the refugees, they should find another state. Why? Because they're going to keep coming. From this article here from WND, it says, even under President Trump, who campaigned on the promise of cutting off all the Islamic immigration, the flow has slowed but not stopped. Just in the last 2 months alone, 280 refugees from Somalia have arrived on U.S. shores. It doesn't seem to matter how bad the Somalians act or how little of an attempt is made at assimilation. They keep coming from the United Nations refugee camps with one-way plane tickets to America and are expected to stay here. Remember, this exactly situation, well, not exact situation, but a similar situation months ago that we still have seen zero coverage on the mainstream media about the police officer that lived up there in Minnesota that shot the lady that was in her pajamas walking around outside when she tried to flag them down and said that somebody was running around outside. He was in the passenger. She walked up to the driver's window. She started talking to the driver, the police officer that was driving. He was in the passenger seat. He drew his weapon and shot her in the chest numerous times and killed her on the scene. And the mainstream media wants to stay dead silent about this refugee, the Somalian Muslim immigrant that's coming in here. This is a significant problem, as our two cultures do not and they have not ever mixed well. One culture always has to submit, and as we know, with the majority of, not all of them, but with the majority, especially these Middle Eastern Somalian Muslims, they do not submit to anything but Islam, which means the only thing they're going to do is try to take over their areas of the United States by force and put on the Muslim doctrine and the Sharia law and make sure nobody else can do anything else about it, Dad. But that's pretty crazy. Another second Somalian refugee stabbing in less than a year over there in Minnesota.
Well, it's because they're trying to start the World War III with the Muslims. And this was Pike's letter to Manzini. This is what he talked about. This is the goal of this entire group of people that are running world affairs. This is what the Third World War is going to be all about. This is to bring in their god, their serpent god. This is to pretty much destroy the current culture that we have. Talk about destroying the current culture. Children are now being indoctrinated into the drag queen culture. Infomorph reporter Miley Weaver went to the Austin International Drag Festival to investigate how children are being indoctrinated into fetish lifestyles. The drag festival was sated with raunchy language and provocative dancing, with very young children participating. The afternoon event climaxed with a burlesque dance from an 11-year-old transgender boy. Now, the thing that bothers me here with this more than anything else is that this is Austin, Texas, right? And so we have a problem with this, because if this is really going on there in the heart of the South, in Texas of all places, and it's being accepted, and that these people aren't being arrested by Texas Rangers for aiding and abetting the delinquency of a minor, an 11-year-old doing a striptease, are you kidding me? This is some sick, sick stuff that's being allowed simply because we are under control of this Sabbatean Kabbalist group. And by the way, speaking of Sabbatean Kabbalists, Satanist Netanyahu is mad, sad, and still wants war. Netanyahu is obviously surprised that Assad is still in power. He has never faced such a challenge before. He helped destroy countries like Iraq and trying to Iran, and he thought he could still go around with, I'm not going to say this, trying to destroy the country. But Netanyahu is basically completely in step with his political, he wants to continue to step out of his political bound and upset a ceasefire that has already been taking place in Syria. He is hopelessly and desperately trying to find a way to attack Syria, so has come up with a new lie and hoax. And he recently declared, "I have also informed our friends first in Washington and our friends in Moscow that Israel will act in Syria according, including north southern Syria, to our understanding and according to our security needs." In other words, he really doesn't care what any other country is going to say, because he wants to do what he wants to do. People like Netanyahu are Luciferians, not because they're drinking blood, but they might be, or calling up spirits in the case of Aleister Crowley. But though these people are Satanists because they want to destroy the moral and political order by any means necessary, they ultimately want to attack Logos, and by doing that, they have execrable power, becomes the enemies of all mankind. This is an article by Jonas Alexis called "Satanist Netanyahu is Mad, Sad, and Still Wants to Be Bad." You guys can read it. And it's just sad. It's just sad, Austin, that we have a person like this who's in charge of Israel right now, and he's a complete, and quite frankly, Jonas Alexis is saying that he's involved in these different types of sacrificial things that he's talking about. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm not saying, I don't know what the guy's doing. I think he's a complete nutbag. Nothing he would do would surprise me, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Well, because we know there's all this tension in the Middle East now, the speculators and all the oil companies and producers are all getting ready now to start speculating and raise oil up, as they always do. The RT asked experts about a war between the two Middle East superpowers of Iran and Saudi Arabia and what it would mean for crude oil prices. They're now saying that if a conflict happens, oil prices could increase 500%. They said energy prices will seriously depend on the severity of the conflict. They said, let's remember the unrecognized Iraqi Kurdistan, which is a state of continuous war, exported about 550,000 barrels per day through Turkey. In this connection, we can expect a panic rise in oil price to 150 to 200 on the first day of conflict. If Saudis and Iran attack each other's oil facilities, crude prices can skyrocket to $300 a barrel, which is just fantastic. I'm sure the globalists will like that, though, with everything running through the petrodollar with Saudi Arabia. That'll just increase their billions that they already make right now. And so I thought that's interesting, Dad. They're already starting to get the war drums going. They have to get another war churning. There's no question about it. Afghanistan's not a war anymore. It's a guarding. It's a security contract force that basically our U.S. military is doing over there, keeping the poppy going. Iraq's completely decimated. Syria's winding down now. So they have to get another war going, whether it's in the Middle East with Iran and and Saudi Arabia and Israel and all these yahoos involved, or we got to get in a massive conflict with North Korea. I saw an article that came out today basically warning Alaskan residents that they need to have the anti-radioactive iodine on hand, because there's a good possibility they may get hit with a nuclear attack from North Korea now. More fear that they're trying to instill in the American population, because why? We have to go to another war per the globalist request. This is what they do every single time, and they have to have a cover now in order to increase the New World Order control to completely decimate the dollar and bring in the one world global currency, Dad. But it's interesting to me is we've seen the same thing every time something starts over in the Middle East. They start speculating on what the oil prices are going to do. I'm sure with this article coming out from RT that it's going to increase oil prices just on that article. So just bear with it, guys. This is what we're dealing with right now in this country.
Here's an article from the Government Rag. I'll give you the author here in a second. And it says, what's happening in the United States is that our constitutional rights have been eroded. Endless attempts are made to disarm Americans. Economic looting by criminal banking and financial systems. Growing lawlessness and lack of investigation or prosecution in the face of exponential growth in government corruption. Forced immigration of people with incompatible cultures. Institutionalized assaults on health and choice regarding health, including forced vaccination. Toleration and even support of violent communist agitators and paid mercenary inciters of violence. Mainstream media entirely controlled propaganda. Unit working lockstep with the authorities in support of revolutionary change in the American political system. Social policy changes which normalize the degradation of the American culture and history. We talked about that yesterday. Social education which encourages a hateful and racist view of American, European, ancestor, and citizens. Elevation of unnatural moral dogma, normalizing unhealthy and dangerous lifestyles like the transgender stuff we just talked about, which cause long-term damage to a rational civilization. Traumatizing repetitions of state-supported violence, false flag events being used to disarm Americans and further increase the security state. Deliberate and sanctioned attempts to create racial tension leading to a race war in America while promoting unnatural and damaged racial agendas such as multiculturalism and diversity programs. This is one of the best articles I've read in a long time. It's called Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, America Rebooted by Mullen. And I think it's something that you need to understand. He talks about what happened with the czars. He talks about the international banking community coming after the czars. He talks about who these guys are, what they do, and all of the things that have happened in the meantime. So this is a good article. Those of you who are on my personal email list, I've already sent it to you. So, guys, it's one of those articles that just you need to read. It just gives you a complete breakdown and facts-finding mission, so to speak, on who these guys are and what they are. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right, man. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that's just nonstop. So, I mean, it's just, that's why we got, I always have all this news we're covering all the time, man. This stuff's crazy. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and you guys have to do the best you can to inform others, too, you know. Put the podcast out there. Get other people listening to it. Talk to other people, man. We have to keep waking up this country, because we really are having an awakening right now where a huge percentage of the population is starting to open their eyes and say, this is not what I want. This is not what I want for my kids. It's not what I want for my grandkids. We have to start being proactive. We can't be the millennial generation anymore. We can't be the baby boomer generation anymore that just sits back and says, well, my life's kind of good. I don't have really any issues. It'll affect the next generation. It's not my problem. It is our problem now. We're smack dab in the middle of this whole thing.
That's right.
We have
right.
enough. We have enough. We have a huge population, guys, in the United States, a huge population that not only is awake, that not only is still smart, that not only is heavily armed, that not only has Christian backgrounds and belief, but the numbers, the sheer numbers that we have in that category are astronomical, in my opinion. It's just a lot of people are getting too scared to speak up. We all have to start being vocal about this. We all have to stand up for our rights. We have to stand up for our friends' rights. We have to stand up for our family's rights. And we have to say enough is enough. We're not going to deal with this anymore. We have to start taking a stand at one point. And that's my question to people. At what point do we draw the line in the sand? At what point do we say we're not going to take this anymore? At what point do we say we're not going to allow you to encroach on our Second Amendment anymore? At what point do we say we're not going to allow you to mandate any more vaccines that are shoved into our children? Where are we going to reach that point as America where we say enough is enough? is in German is genug, is enough. We're done. It's over with. We're not putting up with anymore. The only way we can physically do that successfully is we have to have enough of the population together, unified, and awake, ready to stand strong to anything that may come against us. That's why it's so important right now we wake up as many people as possible, get everybody unified, get everybody on the same page, and get this information out there, because this is not something we can continue to sit back anymore. This is the generation that it's happening in. This is our generation, and we have no other choice but to start voicing the truth and standing up to this unbelievably just vile behavior that the globalists are trying to push on us. Because quite frankly, I don't want to be part of their story. I don't want to be involved in it. I don't want to do it at all. I want to be able to maintain this constitutional freedom that we have in this country for another 100+ years. But that means that we all have to start taking a stand, voicing our opinion, waking people up, and doing the best we can to stand firm in the truth and with the rights that we have, Dad.
Very well put. We have about 10% right now, about 30 million people in the United States that are awake. The other 270 million, parts of them are awake, but they have some understanding. Probably 200 million up are complete and blithering idiots. They have no idea what's going on. They just don't want to know. You try to talk to them. I mean, you go to a mall. Just go to a mall and try to strike up a conversation with somebody who's awake. I mean, it's almost impossible to find them. So you're only looking at about 10%. But the thing about it is, 10% reaches what's in psychology called a tipping point. And so we are tipping the entire groups now over to our side. But here's the danger of all of this, and I'm going to be very, very candid right now with my listeners. When we reach the tipping point, the powers that be, these blood-drinking, pedophile, low-life scum who need to be hung out back by their neck until dead, they basically start to go into a full-blown panic mode because they don't know what to do. It's the death throes of a corrupt organization in civil society that was one time, you know, based on decent principles, like the Republic of Rome was founded as a republic, and then we watched Nero burn most of Rome down and fiddled, and then basically we had all these different people be put into the Colosseums and be executed who claimed to be Christians. Whenever the power base, the power people who are there finally start to realize that we've all had enough, either they're going to take us to war, they're going to implement martial law, they're going to start seizing weapons violently, there's going to be that event that's going to occur. There will be that trigger point in the United States. I believe that we need to do everything we possibly can, and we proved that the people in the United States want to do this because of the election of Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is not who he says he is. And I know you guys are going to get mad at me about this because a lot of you guys like Trump. And I'm going to say this. You're absolutely right. He's 1,000,000,000,000 times better than Hillary Clinton would have been. I got that. The problem is you've got to ask yourself a question. He was stone cold broke, you know, 27, 30 years ago back in the early 90s. Stone cold broke. I mean, I was down at a boat show here last year in Miami, and some of the guys were joking about, they remember when Donald Trump had his yacht seized. And they foreclosed, I think it was called the Trump Princess. I mean, they basically took his boat away from him because he couldn't make the payments on it. He couldn't do it. He was completely locked up. Now, a lot of people say that organized crime got involved with his casinos and started doing a lot of money laundering through the casinos. And that's exactly what put Trump back on top again because of the huge amount of money laundering. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to say that right now. I don't know if that's true or not. All I know is this. He was broke. Now he's not. And all of a sudden, we get all of these Goldman Sachs whack bags, you know, in the White House and all of these different appointments that he's made, including Gottlieb for the Food and Drug Administration, who's a huge vaccine proponent. And suddenly, all of the things that he was telling us that he was going to do in the beginning, it's almost been a year in the White House now, has not happened. Now, don't get me wrong. He's done a lot of good as far as getting us out of some of these treaties and some of the other things that he's done. But I just don't know how long of a chain they're going to give him. Because, guys, somebody's pulling his strings. We see that. Why hasn't Hillary been investigated? Why is Hillary still walking around? Why is this nutbag pedophile Biden walking around? Why hasn't Trump exposed the gay Kenyan and his transgender wife? Why hasn't that happened? I mean, a lot of things that we know should have happened haven't happened. Why? Because there's a deeper, higher power still running this country that we just need to get out of our country, Austin. It's like Andrew Jackson said. He called them a den of vipers. And he said that he would, by the Holy God, rout them out before he left office. And they tried to kill him twice. And he was the first president, the only president ever, to pay off our national debt.
By the way, ICE agents are now rebelling against Trump. They're saying that Trump has betrayed them by retaining Obama's people. Officers in Philadelphia told to remove body armor, told to remove body armor to avoid offending illegals during an arrest. The country's immigration enforcement officers launched a website Tuesday demanding that President Trump do more to clean up their agency, saying that he has left the Obama team in place and is stymieing his goal of enforcing laws on the books. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement supervisors in Philadelphia banned officers from wearing bulletproof vests during an operation in the dangerous Badlands section in the city's north for fear of offending the Muslims, according to a new website report. Meanwhile, officers in one Utah city are required to give officials, city officials, 7 days heads up before arresting anyone. By the time they go to make the arrest, the migrants have already taken off. Compiled by the National ICE Council, which represents ICE officers, the website is part of a whistleblower and part primal scream for Mr. Trump to pay attention to a group of people who are among his staunchest backers during his presidential campaign. Guys, this is interesting. It's going to get more interesting. We just have to believe God that Trump can sort his way through this without getting assassinated, and that the globalist vice president doesn't make it into office. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's definitely some strange stuff going on right now. And also, too, down in Venezuela, I was talking to Dad about this earlier, guys. This is pretty strange, as Venezuela has been teetering right on the brink of total financial collapse. Russia now has reported they've agreed to restructure roughly $3.2 billion in outstanding obligations. While details of the restructuring agreement are scarce, both sides reported that the deal spreads payments out over 10 years with minimal cash service required over the next 6 years. Russia signed an agreement to restructure $3.15 billion of debt owed by Venezuela, throwing them a lifeline. They went on to say the terms are flexible and very favorable for our country. Wilmer Castro Sandoval, which has been Venezuela's economic vice president, said we'll also be able to return to the level of commercial relations with Russia that we had before. So this is a big thing for Venezuela, that they're actually getting some help now from Russia. I guess Russia's decided to help them out because they're pretty much in the same boat as the United States has slammed them with sanctions. They did the same thing to Russia. So we kind of see this faction of these countries all over the globe now that are kind of splitting in the middle. We have one side and then we have another side. So I thought it was pretty interesting, Dave, that Russia decided to do this with Venezuela.
I think it's a great idea, and I'm glad that they've done something, because Venezuela was about to teeter into complete and total Puerto Rican status. That's where they were headed. And quite frankly, you know, you see how the globalists have gone in to basically save Puerto Rico. I mean, it's absolutely horrible what's still going on down in that island right now, because they defaulted. They had the audacity to default on their loans. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. This stuff is still going on. By the way, Attorney General Jeff Sessions may review Hillary's email case and ask his Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein to participate, but Rosenstein might be compromised. U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz, Louis Gohmert, and Andy Biggs called on Attorney General Sessions to investigate Clinton's email crimes and Loretta Lynch's role in helping to bring a Russian lawyer into the U.S. to set up Trump Jr. to make it look like a Russian collusion. Sessions agreed to review the case with the help of Rod Rosenstein, his deputy AG, but Rosenstein is a witness to those crimes. And may himself be compromised. It's not really likely that a meaningful investigation is going to occur with any of this stuff. This morning, I had a dear friend of mine send me a text, and he wanted to know what in the world was going on and what in the world was going on with Hillary Clinton, and why in the world nothing was being done, and why they simply were not doing anything against her as far as taking care of these problems in the White House. And my response to him was very succinct. I said, again, you have to understand that Hillary has a dead man, in her case, a dead woman switch. If something happens to her, it's going to just drop a plethora of information out about the federal government and who all's involved in what. And she's going to destroy the federal government, probably 50% of it, and put us in total chaos. And they're all scared they're going to go to jail, so there's nobody going to go in and going to do a full-blown investigation on Hillary
Clinton. It's kind of like that old movie. I forgot what it was. It was an old John Wayne movie. I'll never forget this, Austin. And he was talking about a ransom that he was giving to somebody to get his little boy out of this ransom situation. And he has a shotgun on this guy's head. And he goes, if anything goes wrong here, I don't care if it's your fault, my fault, or anybody's fault, I'm going to blow your head off. That's what he said. And I, one of my favorite John Wayne lines. And he said, then, so it doesn't matter. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter right now if Hillary Clinton slips and falls and actually kills herself in one of her other little episodes she has. It doesn't matter if her plane legitimately crashes. It doesn't really matter if she has a stroke and dies. She's going to implement her dead man switch, her dead woman switch. She's going to make sure she's not going to get assassinated because she's the one who, remember, who's been directly or indirectly involved now with over 200 deaths surrounding the Clintons and their administration. And again, you can go online and watch the video that Jerry Falwell did, the Clinton Chronicles and the Clinton's Circle of Power, those two videos, get a full understanding of who and what these two psychopath, weirdo, sexual predators, Satanists, voodoo people are actually involved in and with. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right about that, man. This is some pretty weird stuff. Also, a health article for everybody today. This is pretty interesting now. A research study that's been going on for a little bit now, according to Professor Freddie Hammy, he said many men with slow-growing prostate tumors that have not spread underwent treatment, and they did not need it out of sheer anxiety of the presence of the tumor. He said most men are better off not treating prostate cancer. Now, we've talked about this before, and again, this is something you need to work out with your doctor on your own and make sure your own choice out of it. But most of the time, he said a lot of guys, and this is what he's talking about in the article, go and have prostate cancer treatment done simply because they're scared of the word cancer because of what's going on with it. He said that a diagnosis prompted many men to feel worried and depressed, opting to get treatment even when it was not in their best interest. He went on to say, you can over-detect prostate cancer in people when it wouldn't cause any harm. He said over-treatment is a consequence of over-detection because when you tell a patient that he has cancer, you give them a new identity because now they are a cancer patient. He said radiotherapy and prostate cancer therapy can have severe long-lasting side effects, including incontinence and the loss of a man's sex life. He's the leading UK author of the leading UK trial looking at 84,400 prostate cancer patients between the ages of 50 and 69 to compare outcomes and costs between patients who opt for radiotherapy, surgery, and no treatment at all. In earlier research, he studied 500 men who had localized prostate cancer. This type of prostate cancer makes up about half of all cases and refers to a very slow-growing cancer that has not spread to any other organs. He said the patients he studied got regular scans but did not undergo any treatment in an approach known as active surveillance. He said in the beginning, 80% of the men agreed not to undergo any treatment. He said the figure dropped to about 75% after 3 years. He said a decade later, only 44% had not undergone treatment. He said only 1% of the individuals died as a result of the actual cancer, while another 10% passed away directly related to the side effects from the cancer therapy. Most of the patients decided to get treatment not because their cancer had spread, he said, but because of the anxiety of the possibility of it spreading in the future. So that's something to be aware of, guys, when you're dealing with that or you have family or loved ones with that. Again, you have to make your own decision on what you want to do with that, but prostate cancer is one of those ones you really need to do some research. There's a lot of different natural supplements on the market that can help out with prostate health. With us, a proper healthy prostate protocol would be like the resveratrol, the turmeric force, the black seed oil, the prostate support, the vitamin D, and the vitamin C. Those basic one right there will not only help the immune system, but it will also help maintain a healthy prostate as well, Dad.
I take them every day. The problem with the prostate cancer diagnosis is it scares people too much. The reality is it's prostate cancer. If you're diagnosed in your mid-60s, early 70s, it takes about 20 years in most cases now. Again, check with your doctor for this disease to actually do anything that's going to kill you. A vast majority of the time, you know, you're going to die of something else before you die of the prostate cancer. It's just that slow of a disease. And so I see it all the time where people get pushed into these surgeries where they become incontinent or they no longer have a sex drive or they can no longer have sex. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, the side effects of this particular procedure are horrible for most men. So quite frankly, that's why I take my zinc every day. Zinc massively reduces the risk of prostate cancer. I take my prostate support on a regular basis. I take the other supplements Austin recommended. It's just something important. By the way, speaking of prostate, tofu has now been linked to prostate cancer, study reveals. This is crazy. Tofu compounds are structurally similar to estrogen, which worsens the disease. Experts argue that much more research is needed. Age, ethnicity, and family history are also known, but unchangeable risk factors. Researchers from Indiana universities analyzed 27,000 men over 11 years, and prostate cancer affects 11% of men and doesn't always need treating, which is what we just said. But guys, you can't be pumping all that estrogen into your body and not have it affect your prostate. Guys, these estrogens from this soy protein are like a poison to you. And also remember, guys, not only is this full of estrogen, it's GMO estrogen. Like 99% of all soy products are soaked, you know, in glyphosate. They're GMO, they're genetically modified. So not only are you getting tofu that's absolute garbage for your body, that's estrogen, you're also getting the glyphosate from it, and you're also getting the estrogen from it. I mean, it's one of those. Don't use tofu, don't drink soy milk, and don't give your kids soy formula. I don't even know how to say that any more directly than that. I mean, I did an article, read it online on our website. Soy turns little boys into little girls. Read it, and then make a decision if you want to do this or give this to your children. Bunch of weird stuff about soy, guys, and I cannot believe that it's been loaded, it's been given as a health food for all these years. Also, exercise has actually now been shown that it may actually halt dementia by preventing the brain from shrinking. This is kind of crazy, but this is what it does. Being active several times a week maintains the region associated with memory. Known as the hippocampus, this region is the first to deteriorate in Alzheimer's. And exercise now has been shown to produce a chemical that helps prevent the brain's age-related decline. Researchers say exercise is a maintenance program for people's brains, and scientists from the Western, Sydney, and Manchester universities who did the study. Now, what's interesting about this, and I'm going to add something to this, you have to drink sufficient quantities of water. Your brain, again, is almost all water, as is your whole body. If you allow your brain to dehydrate and allow your body to dehydrate, you start having all kinds of mental issues, including dementia. If you allow your brain to be infused with aluminum, including aluminum toxic deodorants, you're going to have your brain have a much more susceptible state to dementia. Guys, it's so important for me to tell you that, guys, that your exercise is absolutely critical. I know with me, I go to the gym. I do leg workouts. Like I had a leg workout today. I do four sets of abductors, four sets of adductors. Then I do four sets of extensions, four sets of leg curls. And then I'll do four sets of leg press on one machine and four sets of leg press on another machine, keeping my reps on the leg press to 25. And when you do that, you push the human growth hormone to be released from the pituitary gland, but it does something else. It massively increases the amount of testosterone, the readily available testosterone your body produces. It's so important that you do exercise on a regular basis to maintain mental acuity, mental clarity, and good cognition. I can't emphasize that enough. I'm 62 years old. I kid you not, my brain still thinks I'm 18 years old the way it works. I think it's absolutely wonderful, but it's a testimony of what the good Lord has done for me, how he's continued to bless me, put me into this business that I've been in for 37 years, and allowed me to have the world's highest quality supplements to continue to ensure that. So, guys, thank you so much for being here for us and listening to us. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is pretty wild. With Amazon now, they have finally gotten their Amazon Go convenience store in downtown Seattle up and running. This has been the template and the basis for all the Amazon stores that they want to open up nationwide. The idea, and we talked about this about 8-9 months ago, and they've implemented it now, is to let consumers walk in, pick up items, then pay for them without ever standing in line at a cashier or stopping. Amazon's very vague about the mechanics that they have implemented in this, but the store relies on a mobile app and some of the same sensing technology that powers self-driving cars to figure out who is buying what. This is a giant totalitarian police state platform test run. This is what this is doing with Amazon. They literally, when you walk in, you scan your account, so you scan your smartphone upon entering the store, you scan under a little scanner, the cameras and shelf sensors will then work together to figure out which items have been removed and which items were put back. Then when shoppers leave, the algorithms total up the order and build an Amazon account via the scanners, facial recognition scanners, body positioning, everything to make sure you're you as you walk through the whole store. They've got it so dialed in now, the employees from this store even did a test run to see if they could fool the technology. One day, three enterprising Amazons wore yellow Pikachu costumes, which I guess is like a Chinese cartoon, and walked around grabbing sandwiches, drinks, and snacks. The algorithms completely nailed it, according to the person familiar with the situation, and correctly identifying the employees and charging their Amazon accounts, even though they were totally obscured behind yellow costumes. That's how advanced they have this now. But just based on the way you walk, the way you move, the actual analytics on the certain items that you buy. Remember, Amazon monitors all that stuff. That's why if you ever go on Amazon and search for something, then you go on there again, even if you don't have an account, it'll show up a list of stuff related to you. Oh, this is the stuff you need to buy next, and this is the stuff you should buy after you buy the first row. They've gotten this stuff dialed in so far with their artificial intelligence simulators that they have now. This is where they're at, that they're now opening their first flagship Amazon Go store, that you will literally walk in, scan your phone, be tracked 24/7, 365, every inch that you move, you'll be monitored, and then billed for the products that you throw in your cart and walk out with, Dad. This is the new evolution of the AI that they want to implement nationwide, everywhere, and Amazon has finally done it successfully, and they're opening up the store now.
Unbelievable, Austin. Next, they'll be basically asking for blood samples when you walk through. Oh, that's right. They don't need that. They already have our DNA, don't they, son? Hey, Parkinson's, by the way, we're now having a Parkinson's disease pandemic. It's on the horizon. Researchers warn his cases are now doubling in 25 years, and it's now the world's fastest growing neurological disorder ahead of dementia. There are about 6.9 million Parkinson's patients worldwide right now. Figures show that by 2040, this number will be over 14 million as the population continues to age. Neurologists are demanding that all victims of the incurable disease begin to protest. They suggest campaigners should protest to encourage experts to find a cure. Now, I'm going to say a few things about Parkinson's real quick. Parkinson, I personally believe, is a neurological condition that's caused by too much mercury in the system, too much lead in the system, too much, from a dry cleaning standpoint, solvents in the system, and too much glyphosate in the system, and also too much mercury in the system from immunizations. I believe that this is an induced pandemic that's being done to us because they know the neurological ramifications of what they're doing and the types of poisons they're putting into our systems that's going to cause this massive, massive problem with Parkinson's. I know multiple people in their 50s and 60s and 70s who have these hand tremors, who have Parkinson's disease, who basically have not eaten clean their lives and who've done a lot of things as far as not eating organic in their lives, or who've been exposed to dry cleaning solvents their whole lives, and now they're having all of these health problems. Austin, this is a major issue. That's why I really recommend that everybody takes the magnesium brain food. I take it every single day. It's actually been shown to go in and help to pull aluminum back out of the brain. And aluminum is one of the primary causes of these types of neurological conditions as far as I'm concerned. And also remember, the overuse of all of these antacids is going to be a major problem in the years to come. And it's creating a huge group of these Parkinson's patients and senile dementia patients because these aluminum salts that are being used in these antacids are poisoning the brain and poisoning the body systemically. Son, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is becoming a significant issue, and it's what we talk about with the vaccines, with the water, with the foods, with all this stuff that we're being exposed to on a regular basis. I mean, this is the most toxic generation, essentially, in U.S. history ever. I mean, because this is the first time we're literally being injected with toxic metals, we're being sprayed with toxic metals, we're eating glyphosate, we're being exposed to all this aluminum, whether it be the aluminum cans, aluminum cookware, aluminum deodorant, everywhere. So this is pretty crazy now. But also one other thing, I know the magnesium works incredibly good for chelating that out of the brain. But another cool thing about that product, I had a customer walk in the other day and order like three more cans from me and leave. And he said him and his wife have always had issues over the last couple of years that they've gotten older with having either like lower back cramps or hamstring cramps or leg cramps. And he said as soon as they started taking this product, they literally have not had a single cramp whatsoever since they've been on the magnesium brain food. He said it's the best magnesium formula he's ever tried. He said most magnesiums he's bought at the store in the past, you'd have to take a handful of different magnesiums and eventually you'd get massive diarrhea from them. He said with this product, he can take like 1 to 2 scoops a day and he gets better results than he ever had with any of the other formulas, and it doesn't cause any loose bowels at all. So I thought I would just add that in there since you brought up the magnesium formula. It's been a really, really big selling hit.
I love it. Plus, it tastes great. It's in powder, so you don't have to swallow it. I love it. By the way, Russia Today, the TV station, now has been forced to register as a foreign agent under the threat of seizure. The Trump White House has ordered Russia Today, a Kremlin-directed cable media outlet in the U.S., to register as a foreign agent under the threat of seizing its assets and arresting its news director. Journalist Max Blumenthal is a frequent guest on Russia Today and says there is a double standard being applied. The Israeli lobby and organizations like AIPAC, which are also foreign entities, are not required to do this. And they also promote war in Gaza, war in Lebanon, war in Iran, but they are not required to register as a foreign agent. He's absolutely right about that. He says that the reason RT is being targeted is that it delivers news and views that are contrary to the versions authorized by the Pentagon and blocked by the mainstream media. Dead
yep.
on. Absolutely right. I like Russia Today. It's a good show, and it really tells the truth. It's about the best alternative nationally viewed broadcast that you're going to find on mainstream media, period. Guys, thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for being part of our family. I love you guys, and I appreciate you too. Just... you guys are awesome. Austin, I'll go ahead and do I'll do the write-up, and you go ahead and give close, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for everything. You give us all the time. Thank you for all the emails and phone calls. If you need anything at all, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the COQ10 Ubiquinol. This is the most naturally absorbed bioavailable COQ10 on the market with Ubiquinol form. Very strong stabilized formula. Incredibly good for the heart, very good for energy, and very good for the cells. That one, so it's on sale for product of the week for over 8% off right now. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com, and be sure to check out some of the other products that are on there that are being voted on as well, like the Body Balance Himla. We have that formula back. That's our omega-3 phospholipid formula. We've had that in for a little bit now, and that actually is on the list to be voted for. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome, amazing night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.